Welcome to a new edition of Becoming the Solution, the podcast looking to empower you to be the change you want to see in the world. Each episode is a gateway to personal growth and global impact. For more insightful content, be sure to visit our website at evolvingtogether.life. Let's embark on this transformative journey together. I'd like to encourage you to listen whilst following along with the accompanying text whenever possible. The combination of auditory and visual learning can provide a more comprehensive understanding of the topics we discuss. Today's podcast is titled Exploring the Self, Alan Watts on the Illusion of Ego, Interconnectedness, and Embracing Life as a Game. Today's podcast is part of an AI series reviewing spiritual books that align closely with Tom Campbell's more science-based theory of everything, My Big Toe. This discussion dives into Alan Watts' ideas from the book on the taboo against knowing who you are, exploring themes of self-identity, ego, and interconnectedness. In this book, Watts delves into the idea that society encourages us to avoid knowing our true selves. This taboo, he suggests, arises because truly understanding our nature might disrupt our comfortable worldview. Watts compares human life to tubes, constantly consuming and producing in an endless cycle, a stark image that urges readers to question the meaning of this repetitive existence. He argues that our sense of a separate self is a constructed illusion, a kind of hallucination that Western science and Eastern philosophy challenge. This illusion of separation keeps us striving endlessly for external fulfillment, much like chasing a mirage. Watts encourages a shift in perspective, seeing life as a game or a piece of music, where joy comes not from achieving goals, but from engaging in the process. This perspective is closely aligned with Tom Campbell's My Big Toe MBT, where Campbell emphasizes that life's purpose is rooted in love and connection. Both Watts and Campbell advocate for moving beyond ego-driven pursuits toward a state of interconnected awareness. A key point for Watts is embracing the world's oddness, recognizing that life is inherently strange, and in that recognition, finding enlightenment. Humor and playfulness are essential tools for detaching from the ego's games. Campbell echoes this idea by stressing that personal growth comes not from control or separation, but from understanding our oneness with all things. Both thinkers highlight that rigidly identifying with an ego self limits our potential and contributes to conflicts and discontent. Ultimately, Watts and Campbell invite us to view life as a cosmic play, where even conflict has its place. Rather than eliminating enemies or opposing forces, they argue for a respectful understanding of their role in the broader game. By transcending the illusion of separation, we can live in harmony with ourselves, each other, and the universe.
All right, ready to have your mind blown?
Always.
Let's do it. Today we're diving deep into Alan Watts' book on the taboo against knowing who you are.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is. And the title, it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, is there really something holding us back from truly knowing ourselves?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, for sure.
There is. So for those who might not be familiar with him, can you give us a little bit of background on Alan Watts?
So Alan Watts was kind of a renegade in the world of philosophy.
I like that, renegade.
He had degrees in theology and divinity.
Wow.
But he's best known for bringing Eastern philosophies like Zen Buddhism to a Western audience.
He was like a bridge between those two worlds.
Yeah, exactly. He really helped people understand these ideas in a new way.
And in this book, he asks this really intriguing question. Is there actually a taboo against knowing who we really are?
Right from the get-go, he throws out this idea of an unmentionable book.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
This book, it's like a secret text that parents might pass down to their kids, filled with all these profound truths about the universe and ourselves. But it's taboo. Like, you're not supposed to talk about it.
Whoa, that's a powerful image. It's like there's this secret society of knowledge that we're not supposed to access. Why would that be? Why would such a book even be taboo?
I think Watts is getting in something deeper here.
Yeah.
He's saying there's a certain resistance in society to confronting some of these deeper truths, you know, truths that might shake up our whole worldview.
Truths that maybe make us uncomfortable.
Exactly. We cling to familiar ideas even if they're even they might be illusions.
Right. We like our comfort zones.
Well, we do.
Then he hits us with this analogy, and it's kind of funny, but also kind of unsettling.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
He compares human life to dot tubes.
Ah, yes. The tube analogy. It's a classic Watts.
It is. He describes us as these tubes, taking things in, putting things out, wearing out, and then, well, the cycle just starts all over again.
It's a pretty stark picture, right?
It is. And it makes you think about, you know, the daily grind, the rat race, the hamster wheel we're all on, working, consuming, repeating, working, consuming, repeating. And it makes you wonder, what's the point of it all?
And that's exactly what Watts wants us to question.
Really?
He's challenging us to look at the meaning we attach to this whole cycle of existence.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily saying it's meaningless, but he's asking us to examine our assumptions about its purpose.
I like that, to really examine what we believe.
Yeah, to go deeper.
Okay, so then he talks about seeing the world as odd.
He does.
And it's almost like he's saying embrace the weirdness of it all.
Absolutely. He's saying that looking at the world as this strange, unexpected, even bizarre place can actually lead to enlightenment.
That's fascinating.
Like, think about it. If you really stop and observe the world around us, it is pretty odd, isn't it?
It is. I was just watching a bee pollinate a flower the other day, and I was struck by how incredible that process is. We see it all the time, but it's this tiny miracle happening right there in front of us.
And that's exactly the kind of wonder that Watts is talking about. When we recognize the strangeness of the familiar, it can lead to a much deeper understanding of ourselves and the universe.
So we've got these taboo truths.
Yes.
We've got the tube analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And a call to embrace the weirdness of the world. It feels like we're just getting started here.
We're just scratching the surface.
And then Watts drops a bombshell. He says that our sense of self, that feeling of being a separate I, is actually a hallucination. He even says that this challenges both Western science and Eastern philosophies.
Whoa, a hallucination?
Yeah, that's pretty radical. Can you break that down a bit? What does he mean by that?
Okay, so he's basically saying that this deep-seated feeling we have, this feeling of being this separate me, this independent self, it's actually an illusion. It's a construct of our minds, not a fundamental truth about reality. And this illusion has huge implications for how we see the world. It leads us to believe that we're separate from everything else, when in reality, we're deeply interconnected.
So how does this ego hallucination, as he calls it, how does that relate to the taboo against knowing who we are? Is he saying that our ego is somehow blocking us from seeing the truth?
That's exactly it. If we hold on to this idea of a separate self, we miss the bigger picture. We miss the fact that we're all part of something much larger, something much more interconnected than we can even imagine. You know, this idea that we're not just these isolated beings kind of looking out at the world.
Right.
But that the world is like this extension of ourselves.
It is a lot to wrap your head around.
It is.
I mean, we ended the last part with this concept of the world as our body. And Watts suggests that, well, clinging to this idea of being a separate self, it leads us down this path of constantly striving for external things, but they never really fulfill us.
Right. It's like we're always chasing after something, but we never actually catch it.
It's like chasing a mirage.
It is. It
yeah.
is. And Watts suggests that one way to break free from this trap is to start seeing life as a game.
A game. Really? I mean, that sounds almost too simple. How can seeing life as a game help us with that feeling of always, always wanting more?
Well, think about it. When you're playing a game, you're engaged in the activity itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not really focused on some future outcome or reward. You're just enjoying the process, the challenge, the back and forth.
Okay, yeah.
Watts uses the analogy of music. Like when we play music just for the pure joy of it.
Yeah.
We're totally present in that moment. We're not worried about hitting the right notes or, you know, impressing anyone.
That's true. When I'm really lost in playing music, I completely lose track of time.
Exactly.
I'm just absorbed in the experience. It's almost meditative.
It is. And that's the kind of mindset that Watts is encouraging us to cultivate. This mindset of playfulness, of being present, of enjoying the journey, rather than constantly striving for some future destination.
Wait, but that's easier said than done,
right?
I mean, we live in a culture that's obsessed with achievement, with productivity, with always wanting more. It's like we've forgotten how to just be.
You're right. And mm-hmm. Watts was very critical of this aspect of modern Western culture.
He was.
Yeah, he actually argued that we're not true materialists.
What do you mean?
Because we don't actually appreciate the material world,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're so focused on getting ahead, on acquiring things, mm-hmm. that we miss out on the simple pleasures of of just existing, of being.
I've never thought about it that way. I'm thinking about those, like, those exquisite Persian carpets that Watts talks about.
Yeah.
The Japanese tea ceremony. There's this reverence for the object, for the process of creation. You don't really see that in our mass-produced world.
Right. He pointed to those examples as ways of being in the world that are more in harmony with the natural flow of life.
Okay.
There's this sense of presence, of appreciation, of connection to something larger than ourselves. And he argued that this loss of connection with the material world, it's directly related to that ego hallucination that we were talking about.
Really?
Yeah, because when we see ourselves as separate from the world, then everything becomes an object to be used, to be consumed, to be controlled.
So it's not about rejecting material things altogether.
No, not necessarily.
It's more about, like, shifting our relationship to them.
Yeah, it's about seeing them as part of this larger web of interconnectedness, not just objects to satisfy our desires.
Okay, I get that. But how do we make that shift? It's one thing to understand these concepts intellectually, but how do we actually integrate them into our lives? How do we go from theory to practice?
That's a $1 million question.
It is.
And Watts acknowledges that just trying to force ourselves to be less egotistical or more selfless, it can actually backfire.
Really? Why?
Because it just reinforces the very ego that we're trying to transcend.
Ah, so it's another form of striving.
Yeah, it's like another way of trying to become something we're not.
Because we're still coming from that place of separation.
Exactly.
That belief that we need to fix ourselves or become someone different. It's like trying to grab smoke.
Yeah.
The harder you grasp at it, the more it slips away. So if willpower and effort aren't the answer, what is?
Watts points to a process of heightened self-awareness. It's about becoming more aware of the ego's games, the ways in which it creates separation, the ways in which it feeds this feeling of lack. It's about realizing how much we depend on the other, even those we might consider our enemies, to define who we are.
So instead of trying to get rid of the ego, we become more aware of it.
Yeah, of its tricks, its patterns, its habits. We start to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
A construct, a set of beliefs and thoughts that we've inherited from our culture, from our upbringing. We don't have to believe everything it tells us.
We can question it.
Exactly. And Watts believed that humor plays a really important role in this process.
Humor. That's interesting. We've been talking about some pretty, pretty heady stuff.
We have.
Like the illusion of self, the interconnectedness of all things. How does humor fit into all of this?
Well, humor helps us detach from the ego's grip. It allows us to see the absurdity of its games, this constant need to be right, to be in control, to be special. It's like taking a step back and saying, wow, this is all pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
I can see that. So instead of getting caught up in, you know, being good or bad, we can start to see the whole thing with a lighter perspective.
Yeah, it's like we're able to laugh at ourselves, at the whole human drama.
Exactly. And as that humor arises, does something else come with it?
Yeah, a sense of compassion naturally emerges. We start to see ourselves in other people, even those we might think are different from us or opposed to us. We realize that we're all in this together, all playing our parts in this cosmic play.
It reminds me of what Watts said about loving our enemies. But he makes it clear that it's not about, you know, trying to convert them to our side or pretending that conflict doesn't exist. It's about recognizing their essential role in this larger game of life.
Right. He used this great example of boxing, where the fighters salute each other before the match.
Yeah.
It's a gesture of respect, you know?
Right.
It acknowledges the opponent's role in the game, even as you're engaging in the conflict.
So it's about containing the conflict, right?
Yeah.
Keeping it within bounds without losing sight of that underlying interconnectedness. Like, we're all actors on a stage playing our roles, even when those roles might seem to be in conflict.
That's a great way to put it. And that's where the idea of chivalry comes in.
Okay.
It's about playing the game with grace, with dignity, even when the stakes are high. It's about recognizing that everyone is doing their best, even if we don't agree with their actions or their beliefs.
I'm starting to see how this all fits together, but it's such a different way of seeing the world than what we're usually taught.
It is.
It requires us to question some really, really deep-seated beliefs about ourselves and about reality itself.
And that's why Watts' work is so relevant today. You know, he's not offering easy answers or quick fixes.
Right.
He's inviting us to go on a journey of self-discovery, to question everything we thought we knew about ourselves and about the universe.
It's a challenging path.
It is.
But it also feels incredibly liberating. Like he's offering us a way to escape the confines of our limited thinking and discover this much, much wider, much richer reality.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
What is?
Moving beyond those limitations of the ego and discovering this boundless potential that's within us all.
I think I'm starting to feel a shift happening already. Like a weight has been lifted, this feeling of freedom, of possibility.
And as Watts would remind us, it's all a game. This cosmic game of hide and seek where the ultimate prize is the discovery of our true selves.
Yeah, it really is mind-blowing, right? This whole idea that we're all just part of this giant cosmic game of hide and seek. But it's also kind of hopeful, like this grand adventure is unfolding right in front of us.
It is. It definitely is. And the adventure keeps going. I mean, we've talked about the ego as this kind of hallucination, the world being like our body and embracing life as a game.
Right.
But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what does it all mean? Like, practically, how do we actually live our lives with these ideas? If the world really is an extension of ourselves, how does that change how we interact with everything around us?
That's the big question, isn't it? It's like we've been given this amazing new way to see things, but now we have to figure out how to use it. Like, where do we even start?
Well, you know, Watts doesn't shy away from that at all.
No, he doesn't.
He really connects these concepts to how we should live. For example, our relationship with the environment.
Okay.
He says, and this is powerful, if the world is my body, then harming the environment is harming myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this totally different way to think about the environmental crisis. You know?
It is. It's not just about like saving the planet for the future.
Right.
We're protecting endangered species.
Okay.
It becomes about taking care of ourselves because, well, the planet is part of us.
Exactly. It really makes you stop and think,
yeah.
Right? Like every choice we make, every action we take, it's not just affecting something out there. It's affecting us directly.
It makes it much more personal.
It does. And, you know, this extends to all life, not just the environment. Watts talks about how all beings are connected from like the tiniest microbe to the largest whale.
So it's not just trees and rivers.
No.
It's everything. It's all living beings.
Yeah, it includes all those other human beings too. We're all part of this web, even those we might see as different.
Right. Even those we might see as hostile.
Exactly. And he really challenged this idea of wiping out our enemies, whether it's, you know, insects we think of as pests or bacteria that cause diseases or even other groups of people we just don't agree with.
Yeah, he didn't like that kind of thinking.
No, he said that if a species is constantly winning, you know, permanently victorious, it ends up destroying everything.
Yeah.
Not just itself, but the whole ecosystem it depends on.
It's humbling, right? To think that even the things we might fear or dislike, they still have a role to play in the bigger picture.
They do.
Makes you think about good and evil in a whole new light.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, he even went so far as to suggest that we should actually honor those who die from, you know, diseases like malaria or tuberculosis.
What? Really?
Yeah. Not because we want people to suffer, obviously.
Well, of course not.
But because their passing makes space for others to live. It's a way of recognizing that death is a natural part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that even in death, there's still this interconnectedness.
I can see how that would be controversial, but it does make you think about life and death a little differently. But I want to go back to human relationships for a second. I mean, we can't just ignore conflict or act like everyone's always getting along. So how do we take these ideas of playfulness and interconnectedness and apply them to a world where there's conflict, there's division?
Right, right. Well, Watts wasn't saying we should just, you know, be passive or accept injustice. He knew that conflict is part of life, but he thought we needed a new approach to it.
Okay.
Like instead of seeing it as a battle of us versus them, we need to find ways to keep it from, you know, getting out of control, from becoming destructive.
So finding that balance.
Yeah. Recognizing that there will be disagreements, but finding ways to work through them without, you know, forgetting that we're all human.
Right. Without losing sight of that.
He talked about the importance of recognizing our interdependence,
even
with those who we might think of as our opponents.
Our enemies.
Yeah. He used this phrase, honor among thieves, for pointing out that even people who are doing things that are considered wrong, they still have a code of conduct because they rely on each other.
Yeah. So in a way, we're all in this together.
We are. Even when we don't agree. And that brings us back to that idea of seeing life as a game.
It does.
When we have that playful spirit, we're less likely to get stuck in, you know, rigid positions.
Yeah.
Or those self-righteous battles.
Yeah.
We can engage with each other with more lightness, with more flexibility.
And knowing that we're all just, you know, playing our parts.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where chivalry comes in.
Right, right.
It's about playing the game with grace,
mm-hmm.
with dignity, with fairness, even when things get really tough.
It's like we're all on the same team.
In a way, yeah. It's about recognizing the humanity in everyone, even our opponents.
With what?
Approaching conflict with understanding, mm. you know, with compassion, not just with anger.
This has been an incredible deep dive, really. We've covered so much. I mean, the ego being an illusion, the world is an extension of ourselves, the importance of play, of interconnectedness. But it all really comes down to this, doesn't it? Waking up from that illusion that we're separate and recognizing this deep unity of everything.
Yeah, it's about remembering that we are IT. You know, that fundamental reality that's behind everything, that's animating everything in the universe.
That connects everything.
Yeah. We're not separate from the world. We are the world experiencing itself.
And as Waltz would say, it's all a game.
It is. This incredible cosmic dance of life.
So let's play, right? Golly. With awareness, with compassion, with a sense of wonder. Because in the end, that's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Keep exploring those depths within yourselves and discover all those incredible possibilities waiting for you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, consider subscribing for future episodes on your preferred podcast platform. If you have your own reflections or insights on these subjects, we welcome you to share them through the provided website link. Your thoughts contribute to the richness of the conversation. And we value the diverse perspectives our audience brings to the table. Until the next time, stay inquisitive, practice open-minded skepticism, and remember, our purpose is to grow up and evolve.